Well, the moment that we've all been waiting for with bated breath over a number of weeks since Connor and Maddie have returned. Do we have, Kim, is there one you want first? Does it matter? Connor is first. All right. Connor Jorgensen is going to come up. Now, Connor, I'm not going to steal all of Connor's thunder and such, but if you weren't aware, both Connor and Maddie went to YWAM. If you're looking for more information on YWAM, there is a little bit of a snippet on the back of your bulletins that kind of talk about that. But Connor went to Africa, and he's going to tell us about that this morning.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so happy to be back and see you all. It's really nice. So, last spring, I was figuring out future plans, and I wasn't sure what to do. So I don't know if you guys heard my sister give a little talk about YWAM probably like a year ago or a couple years ago. I can't really remember, but my sister was the main reason that I decided to do YWAM. Because I think as Christians, we're all called to missions, not necessarily to go out to missions, but to have a heart for missions and to experience it at one point. So I'm just going to jump right into it. I went to Uganda and South Sudan. If you don't know where that's at, it is this country right here, kind of in Western Africa, or Eastern Africa, my bad. This is a picture of Uganda, and So the school that I did is called Trailblazers, and Maddie did a different school that's more like personal and relationship-based, but my school was designed to plant the seed, so every single week we would move around to a different location. So first week in Tebe, we went up to Jinja, and from Jinja, we went down to the Bavuma Islands. Okay, sorry guys, this is gonna take a while. Bavuma Islands, we were there for 2 weeks. Then we went up to Sorodi. We were in Sorodi for 1 week, and then we took a 3-hour bus ride to this place called Karamoja, which is right about here, right by the mountains of Kenya. And then after a week there, we went back to Sorodi, and then we did a 10-hour bus ride up to this place called Kitgum, which is right about here. And then we went up into South Sudan for 2 weeks. And I'll talk about that later. And then we went back to Kitgum, then over to Arua for 1 week, and then to a refugee camp for another week. And then we took a 13-hour bus ride all the way down to Entebbe, which was not too fun, but that's okay. This is Lake Victoria. A lot of amazing things happened here. Our main way of ministry here was doing seminars. So about every 2 days, we would go out to different islands and do different seminars, and we would give like teachings on the Holy Spirit and the love of God and things like this. Here's one of the churches that we spoke at. It wasn't much, but it says in the Bible, where two or three gather in my name, I will be among them. So we were under these trees, and probably every half hour we would give a little talk there. We also mounted a church. that was fun. So what we do is they get a huge thing of dirt, and you pour a whole bunch of water all over it, and you just smash it with your feet for like 2 hours until you're like dead tired, and then you put it in a bunch of wheelbarrows and you just throw it at the walls all day in the African sun. So that was really fun. The Bavuma Islands, we went up to Sorodi, and in Sorodi it was probably one of my most favorite weeks. For the first week, we were with these kids, and these kids they grew up in this program called Amichet, which is this thing with YWAM. And so in Amichet, almost all of these kids are HIV/AIDS positive. And so our only job the entire week was just to love on them and just to make them feel like they're a part of a family or they're loved in every way. So we did that for a week. That was incredible. And then the second week, we went to this city called Karamoja. And Karamoja is cool because you're in Uganda, but it's the weirdest place I've ever been in my entire life. These are two women that I took a picture of in the village. This is probably one of the coolest stories I have of the entire trip. So me and this girl right here, we were doing door-to-door evangelism, and we were just going around talking to people, and we stumbled upon this lady right here, and she was so old, she had to be probably 80 years old or something, and yeah, Yeah, I know. She was, I don't know. She was definitely old. But we saw her, and she couldn't walk. The only way for her to get around was to crawl, so she had scratches all over her arms and her knees and everywhere, and she probably hadn't stretched out her legs in over 10 years is what the translator told us. And so me and Emily got down on our knees, and we asked her name, and I honestly have no idea what she said because she was so old. So we decided to pray for her, legs. So we laid hands on her and prayed for her. We were like, okay, like, let's help her up. And so we grabbed her arms, me and the translator, and we started to help her up, and it got to be, like, right here, and she just, like, stopped, and then Emily just started, like, praying again, and then she just, like, stood up, like, no problem. And it was, like, the Lord just touched your heart, and it was a crazy experience. Then we just casually healed her knee pain. Well, the Lord healed her knee pain, and it was incredible. And then after Karamoja, we went up to South Sudan. This is one of the mountain villages in South Sudan that we trekked up to. It was a six-hour hike, and we got up here, and it was incredible. We were part of a little church service. We didn't do much ministry, just because, like, those of you who have been to Africa before, you kind of know that, like, African time, just, like, they'll say they'll get there at 10, but they just casually show up at, like, 1:30. Like, oh, sorry, I was doing something else. So we just kind of went with the flow a lot of the time. And then after South Sudan for 2 weeks, we came down and we were in this city called Arua. Arua is this really big city. It's kind of like, it's actually kind of like the size of Little Falls, I think. It's just huge, considering the size of Uganda. And so in Arua, we did a lot of street evangelism because it's a city. Here's a picture of Emily, who's one of my team members. We were at a I can't remember. We were at a school, and we were just, this always makes me laugh right here, this guy. He's just not having it right now. But we were at this school, we were teaching and giving classes for like 3 or 4 days maybe. And then another really cool story that I had, me and my friend Jeff, we were doing street evangelism, and we came upon this soccer team. And if any of you guys know me, soccer's, like, my thing. I just love it. So, like, anytime we don't know what to talk about, I'll just strike up conversation about soccer, and it'll just keep the conversation flowing. And so we started talking to them about soccer, and we learned that almost all of them were Muslim. And so we started talking to them, just chatting with them. And if I can remember my friend Jeff was talking to him, and he kind of got them all around. And there were so many people that we were blocking off an entrance to a store. I think there were like 40 people there, just because, like, white people, they don't see him too often, so it's kind of funny for them. And so they brought us to their little place where they hang out, which is kind of like this little shack, like 100 yards away. And so we just started chatting with them, and Jeff was just talking to him, and they were saying that, like, hey, here's our goalie, like, he's hurt, can you do anything to help him? We're like, hey, we super can, we can pray over him right now. And so he had back pain, we prayed over him, the Lord completely healed his back right there, and it was incredible because you could just see that he had been struck by something. You could see it in his eyes. He wasn't really talking, he was kind of looking down, like, trying to figure out what happened. And so we were just explaining to him that, like, yeah, this is the Holy Spirit, like, we just prayed over you, and Jesus Christ just healed your back. It was amazing. And then after that, there was one guy that pulled Jeff aside, and he's like, hey, I need to talk to you, and, like, grabbed him, pulled him over to the side, and he's like, who are you to say that Jesus Christ is alive? Like, who are you to say that Jesus Christ is dead? And Jeff was like, oh, I'm so sorry you believe that. Like, that's so sad. And so he just started to explain to him that, like, Jesus Christ is alive, like, he's real, he's doing things, he's working, like, let me prove it to you. And he's like, okay. And so he's like, do you have any pain or anything I can do to help you with, like, pray over you, anything? And he's like, yeah, every morning I wake up and I have aches throughout my entire body and, like, all my joints. Every time I move, I'm in pain and I hurt. And he's like, okay, let me pray over you right now. And he was sitting there praying over him, and then when he was done praying, he looked up, and I was there too, and he just had, like, tears streaming down his face, and he was just like, he's like, I'm better. And we just, like, freaked out, and we were all, like, laughing and stuff and having a good time. And then he went around running around the block we were at, and he's just screaming, Jesus is alive, Jesus is alive. And it was like, ah, feels. Let's see if we have any more. Oh, no, I don't. Okay. So, yeah, a lot of crazy healing in Uganda. In South Sudan, the Lord did so much, and I'm so happy to be a part of it. I just want to thank you guys from the bottom of my heart for praying and for supporting financially and with your prayers and your thoughts and your messages. They were really helpful and supporting while I was there, so thank you.
Hi, everybody. Okay, so I also was at YWAM. I don't know if you guys know much about it, but it's a missions program, and it started out being just for youth people like my age, but now it's actually really cool. There's families there. There were kids running around all the time. And, yeah, so I was at YWAM, and I did a school called Awaken. Our school is based on community, so we went to two places in India, and our sole focus was just to love them and get to know them and, yeah, just show them how much God loves them too. So our kind of theme was to love God, love each other, fellow Christians, and then love the lost in that order. So I'm going to talk to you about those three, but I'm going to do it backwards. Okay, that's fine. So, yes, I went to India. I went to Shillong, which is the most westernized city in India, which was helpful because I was still a culture shock. And then I went to Varanasi, which is the birthplace of Hinduism and Buddhism and Jainism and a bunch of other isms. So I'll start with Shillong. First, we went from Shillong to these villages up in the mountains, and that was really amazing. That was probably my favorite time of all of outreach because I learned that I have a gift in teaching, which was really fun to experience. So we got to teach seminars and preach different sermons to them, and they were so hungry. It really challenged me and my hunger because I thought I was doing so well and all this, and then they have nothing, and all they have are little New Testaments. And so when you find someone with, like, a full Bible or you get to buy someone a Bible, it's life-changing for them. I met a girl there named Agnes. She is precious. Shoot, I'm going to cry already. I'm sorry. She had to sneak out of her house to come to church because her family wouldn't allow it. So she would sneak out every day to come to the seminars we were doing just so that she could hear more about Jesus and just love him more. She saved money for a really long time so that she could buy a tambourine for her church. All she wanted was to love and serve God. I had the opportunity to buy her Bible, and that was so impactful to me, seeing how much that I have and how grateful she was when she got a Bible when, I mean, we've got multiple laying around the house. So yes, we got to speak and serve those people for a couple weeks. And then we went back to Shillong. We got to work in orphanages and children's homes. Those were, I think I posted about it in my blogs, I don't know. But outside of one of the orphanages we went to, the first one, there was a little steel basket, and on top of it said, please drop your children off here, because they would find them they would find them in the most horrible places. So we got to just go love on those children and just show them that there's someone who really loves them and that they're not worthless. So that was very impactful for me as well. We got to spend about a month going to different children's homes, talking to different kids, and every time we would go, they'd ask for us to come back. There were probably about 20 kids to a home with one caregiver, so the caregiver would do the best they could. Back to the steel basket part. I felt God speak to me through that and telling me that, Maddie, this is what I've done with you. I took you out of the death that you would have had, and I brought you into my caring home where you can learn to love me. And that's exactly what happens with these kids when they get brought in, is they get to be raised up in that Christian environment, which is, praise God. I'm going to start with the pictures now. This is my team. There were six of us. That was the Taj Mahal. We were blessed enough to go there at the end of our outreach. My team was amazing. I never thought I would have friends and as close as they are, or as close as I'm with them, I feel like I can count on them for anything, even though they live across the world. Do you want to flip to the next? Oh, I have it. Sorry. These were some of the children we got to talk to in Varanasi. That's where we went next. We had a 14-hour train ride, which was quite the experience. These were some of the children. Most of them were Hindu and Muslim. Like I said, Varanasi is the birthplace of Hinduism and Buddhism, and everything Christian there is not very public. But it is growing. There's been a church movement where 110 churches have been planted over the past, I think, 20 years about, which is awesome. These were some of the children we got to experience, just loving on them. And these were some of the women we met at a women's home. This was also sad. A lot of them were all trafficked, most of the women there. And some of them were, a lot of them were younger than me, probably 16, 15. And they're going to spend their whole lives in that shelter, because if they leave, they will be tracked down. So those were the women we got to preach to there. I got to share a message with them just about how much God loves them and just their reaction to people loving them is amazing, especially women. Women in India have very little value. They're treated like a piece of meat, really. And so hearing that someone loves them is just, it changes their life. In India, we did a lot of prayer walks. We got to go into this temple and pray inside. That was another one of my favorite times, was just praying, and you could feel things being affected spiritually in that temple. It was very dark inside there. But after we prayed, every time we would go back, you can feel a difference. This was the Ganges River. We did a prayer boat ride up and down it. The Ganges was also sad. The caste system in India is so real, and a lot of the untouchables, the lowest caste, hangs out around the Ganges, and there'd be people like picking up with their hands cow poop, and that was their job, or burning bodies along the river. And there were people here, and we would sit down and talk to them or tell them that Jesus loved them, and them even hearing that would just, it just affects them so much, because they've lived their entire life having no value and feeling like nobody cares. This was a man that drove us around for free. We did a faith journey where we relied 100% on God. We brought 200 rupees, it's like $3 with us, and had to survive for a day. It was a challenge, but it was really fun to rely on God like that because he's very faithful. And this is going both into loving the lost and loving others. These were two girls I got to teach in third grade. I got to learn that God likes us to serve in all ways. On this, while I was teaching, my friends got to go to a leprosy clinic, which I really wanted to do, and they got to see a healing. But I got to experience how much God really loves children and how valuable it is to teach them as well. So these were two of the girls that I got to teach. They were amazing. And then loving others also, just loving people in all in just of a different culture is such a challenge, really. But it is so eye-opening to see how other people live and being able to accept it, or being on base back in Kona and seeing how different people worshipped. And at first I thought it was crazy and weird, but just being able to love them and love to see them dancing up front, or just, you know, doing whatever, however they feel they can express their love for God the best, and just being able to love the way that they do that. And then the most impactful thing for me was learning to love God myself. This was a time in my life, I think, where it was just really right for me to learn that God really loved me. I grew up knowing that God loves me, but never really truly being able to grasp it, and I still can't. But just seeing his beauty in nature, and I learned to hear his voice the first week I was in Kona, and being able to hear him tell me what he thinks of me, and knowing that I'm just truly loved by him was amazing. I got to just fall more madly in love with my God than ever before. I fell in love with the Bible. By the grace of God, I got to read through it twice during YWAM, and that has changed my life as well. Just seeing him speak to us through that, and I don't understand how I ever went without God now. And this is going to, I'm just going to show you this picture because it was a really big moment for me. There's a mountain in the middle of the island called Mauna Kea. We drove above it. That looks like water over there, but that's actually the clouds. And me and my friends went up there, and we were just screaming and laughing because we had this new appreciation for who had created it, and that it wasn't just this beauty that had been put there. It was like, it was made by God. And that if that's so beautiful and we're made in his image, how much more beautiful are we to him? So, I just, really what I got out of YWAM is just learning how to love God. And that's, I don't even know how to express it. But just seeing that he's always there for me, there was, I went through a weird season in outreach. It was kind of difficult for me. So there was this bench I'd spend some evenings there just kind of sitting in silence or crying. And just every time I could feel God just sitting next to me, like telling me it would be okay and that he's there for me. And just really realizing that he really is just has changed my life. And I don't think it will ever be the same. So that's about what I have to share. Thank you so much for your support. I really do encourage you to come to Sunday school, because there's a lot more that Connor and I couldn't share in 15 minutes that we'll be able to share with you later. Thank you so much, and yeah.
So I had this as I was listening to Connor and Maddie. There was just kind of this thought, this picture that I got in my head, and it's really, it's the body of Christ. You know, we've talked a lot about that. But talk about how, you know, Connor, he's, the Lord knows him and puts him in a place where he can serve the way that he's gifted, obviously with relationally and talking about his soccer, just his connections, and he can serve the Lord the way that God has gifted him. And then we hear about Maddie and how she's gifted with teaching, and here she is with kids, and she's pouring out her love for these kids, and that's the body of Christ. And it goes beyond those two, because each one of you are a part of their journey. You know, we talk about it, but I just want you to understand the way that you've prayed for them, the way that you've given to them, you are part of the same body of Christ that is reaching the people in Africa and India, and that's how the body of Christ has really been created to work. Each one of us have these gifts and these abilities that God has given to us, and we're just called to use them. For some of us, it's giving. For some of us, it's relating and creating these relationship experiences by which to share the love of Christ. And what a beautiful testimony that we were able to hear this morning. Thank you both. We do want you to stick around. There's certain aspects that they even can't share because of the nature that we record these services. And so some of that may come out in Sunday school as well, and we'll be able to interact with them with a question and answer. Plus, just keep in mind, you got pizza waiting for you afterwards, and that's good enough reason to stay there too. So I want to pray kind of as we wrap up, and as I pray, I'm going to have Dave and the worship team come up, and then following the worship time, just hang tight. Gary's going to come up, and he's going to present to us very efficiently a little program. But I want to pray for Connor and Maddie, but I want to pray for their ministry, their work that they did in Africa and India as well, that the Lord will be faithful and continue that. And then I want to pray for us as well, that we can understand our role as the body of Christ and how we can really just engage and serve and to pray. There's so much that we can do. We may not be the ones going to Africa. We might not be the ones going to India, but God's got a plan for each one of us here in that regards as well. So let's pray. Father, I give you thanks. Just hearing of your power and of your faithfulness, the way that you have worked in these two people's lives. I thank you for their willingness to serve you. I thank you for Connor and for Maddie. And I know that they both are apprehensive, wondering, what does God have in it for me? What's going on here? And I feel like we have heard how you have touched them, how you have spoken to them, how you have worked in them. And we rejoice in the fact that you have been alive and active in their lives and that we could be a part of that. We thank you that we could pray with them. We thank you that we could pray for them. We thank you that we had opportunities to give towards them, and recognizing that we also had a role in their experience, not only for themselves, but also for those whose lives they touched while in Africa and India. We are the body of Christ. We function as a body. We have been created to function as a body. Not all of us are the same. We've been gifted in different ways to be able to use the things that you have given to us to love people as you love them. You tell us in your scriptures that people will know you by the love that we demonstrate to them. And we thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, as we worship you in song again this morning, I just pray that our hearts can cry out to you, recognizing that you are the God, the creator of all things, that we will worship you. We have reason upon reason upon reason to give you glory and praise and honor and worship this morning. And so we will do that together, united as the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.